You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to be at. And I do just want to say just thank you for text calls. A lot of you know my granddad passed away this week. And so it's been obviously a rough week, but just want to thank you for all the things that you guys have done as a church family for me, my mom, the whole family. So I want to say just thank you for that. And as we think about the text we're about to go in, I had a out-of-town Disciple Now weekend that I did for one of my friends, Carlton Binkley, who, dear brother, came to church for a while, and then he's a pastor, been in Illinois for several years, and he's just got a new church called Dorisville Baptist Church, and he wanted me to come to their Disciple Now. So I headed to Harrisburg last night, and I guess Friday, I don't even know what day it is, Friday, then Saturday, and now I'm back here. But when you get to like a Disciple Now, I'm like a 43-year-old guy, and I'm trying to connect with like middle schoolers, you know? And it's just awkward at the first, and high schoolers, and I'm always trying to like connect, and usually sports is one of the big things you could connect with, because we're in a gym, and there's like a hat on, and like oh, you play baseball, you play basketball, great. I'm trying to like connect and stuff, and then I saw a guy with an Eli Tomac shirt on, number 3. Now, some of you are like, who's that? Well, he's one of the best last decade motocross guys. And I was a motocross kid, right? So whenever I see somebody in a setting like that with like a Tomac shirt on, I'm like, oh, dude, you're my boy. So I'm going to go there. I'm like, dude, you like Tomac? He's like, yeah. Like, I'm like, how do you know Tomac? I'm like, do you race? Do you do motocross? And like, yeah, dude, I did too. And we had this. And then his buddies come around that also like do motocross, and we're chatting and hanging out. And I just had this like beautiful moment of like, I love racing and I love to talk about racing when I get dudes that know about it. Because I've been in like basketball world for a long time, and I love basketball, which, by the way, congratulations, Callaway, for winning the regional, getting to go to state. That's absolutely incredible. Hopefully, Marshall boys will do that this afternoon. I love basketball. But the thing about basketball is it's not just players. There's also referees. And I don't know if you noticed this, but usually I've never heard it say, you know how we won? We won because of the refs. It's usually always we lost because of the refs, right? You got somebody else to blame. We're in like gymnastics world also as a dad. And so gymnastics is about judges. And I know my little girl did better than everybody else. How dare you judge, say she didn't, right? It's not just you compete. It's somebody is looking and judging. You know what I love about racing? There's a start line. There's a finish line. Whoever gets there first wins. There's not a ref, there's not a judge, there's not a, well, I didn't get the points right. No, whoever goes past the finish line first wins. I love racing. And what I love about the text we're jumping into is in Hebrews 12, one of the metaphors about the Christian life is a race. Not a motocross race, but a race, a marathon, a run. There is a starting line and there is a finish line. And the goal of the Christian life is to finish the race in faith. That's the goal, not to win, but to finish the race. And what we're gonna see, our preacher telling a little struggling church who's tempted to go back because of suffering and all the shame they're enduring, he's gonna say, keep running. Keep those little legs moving. Just keep going forward because there's a finish line. And I want you to finish in faith. So we're gonna talk about how do we keep running this morning. I don't mean running like Forrest Gump. Right? My little girl on the bench, she's like, I just got up and decided to run. I just kept running and running. I hit the ocean. I just decided to turn around and run the other way and then run the other way. I just kept running. That's not the Christian life. We don't just run aimlessly just because we're running. No, there is a goal. There is an end. There's a finish. And the goal is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would run in faith and we would run well. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, the words will be on the screen if you didn't bring a copy of God's word. But if you'd stand out of reverence for the word of God, let's read our text this morning. Here's what the preacher says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to set aside those weights and sins, that we would look up to the Lord Jesus who finished the race ahead of us and for us. And I pray that based on that, we would just keep running. We pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So here's our goal, to keep running. Notice that little just heart of the text. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what we want to do. We want to run. We want to run with endurance. We want to keep going. And notice the race set before us. See, what you have to know is, hey, we're all on this race called Christianity. We're all trying to end in faith. And in one sense, we all have the same race, right? We're trying to glorify God. We want to grow as a disciple. We want to make disciples. That's the race we're on. But also we have a unique race that is unique to us. Ephesians 2 would say God has created us for good works that we should walk in them. He prepared them beforehand for us. But notice that word, set before us. We have a race that's set before us that's unique to you and that's unique to me. See, I'm a pastor. I have a certain race that God has lined out for me that I'm supposed to run it in a certain way. My wife, Katie, is a Latin and Spanish teacher and a cheerleading coach. That's different than me. I'm not a cheer coach. She is. That's part of her race. That's one of the ways that she's used to invest in young girls for the sake of the gospel. My sister's a nurse. She's in the ER. That's a very different race than me. Like, if you have something wrong, don't come to me. I will run or pass out. She is a whole different race. And some of you have been in the ER and seen her and the way she is, the way her mannerisms, the way that she points people to Jesus. She's running her race. My race is different. Her race is different. Guess what? You have a race that's different than me, and I have a race that's different from you. The question is, are you running the race God's given you? The one he's set before you, the one he's picked out for you, the one he pre-planned for you. Are you running that race, or are you just wandering around? Like, a huge question this morning. Are you running the race, or are you just wandering around? And some of you are just wandering around. And so what you need to do this morning is to lock in and run the race that is set before you. So what is the goal of a race? The goal is to finish. I love 1 Timothy. Paul uses the same metaphor. He says this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance." What's the goal? To finish. The goal is not to get first place. It's not to look around and see, how can I beat everybody at being a better Christian? How can I win? No, the goal is to finish. I've done three half marathons. I've never done the full. I got Ryan here who's done many of those kind of things. And I just can't. I can't get past 13 miles. That's my limit. My body would die past that, I believe. But you know what I've noticed in running? One of the big helpful things is to have fans who are cheering you on. And one of the great things about the passage that we see is there is a therefore. And the therefore says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And what we just walked through is Hebrews chapter 11. And what Hebrews 11, it says, hey, from Abel to Abraham to Rahab to Moses to all the way through to all the prophets, they have kept the faith. They have faced hardship. They have went through suffering. They all finished the race well. Therefore, now you, runner, who are weary and tired and suffering and don't know if you can make it, you're in a stadium, and I want you to look up for a moment and just look around, and the entire stadium is filled with seats, and it's the saints who have gone before you cheering you on. They're saying, keep going. You have Moses and Elijah saying, come on, you got this. Pick up the pace, let's go. It was so helpful running a half marathon when you get the people with oranges, right? I don't even know them, but here's an orange. Here's a water bottle. Good job. And I'm like, I don't know you, but I love you. And I'm so happy you're here. Could you carry me? Nope, you got to run. Okay, I'll keep going. This cloud of witnesses, people are pushing you forward. You have the whole weight of the scriptures and church history pushing you forward. So when you get weary, pick up your Bible. When you get weary, read a good story. Because the person you're reading about that died in faith, they're now cheering you on. Keep going. The goal is to finish. So if we're going to finish, how are we going to get there? Well, there's three keys in this text that'll help us to get to the end, to end well. The three keys are to lay aside, look up, and keep running. So the first one we're going to see is this idea of laying aside. And you're going to lay aside two things. You're going to lay aside the weight and sin that trips you up. So we're going to talk about what does it look like to lay off. Now, think about that word lay aside. It means to strip off, to take off. And you have the imagery of somebody who's getting ready to run. And you've seen like the Olympic Games, right? When the runners come out, they're wearing like USA jumpsuits, like zipped up. And they've got all the gold chains on. They might have some big old sunglasses and maybe a crazy hat and some big puffy pants. And they're walking out there. And this is their warm-up suit, but it's not what they run in. No, when it gets close to the starting blocks, they take the jacket off. And they have a really small little jersey. And they take off the pants. They got some really small little shorts. And they got some really small little shoes. Because the goal is to run as fast as you can. And you don't want like puffy pants. Like imagine somebody just forgot to take them off. And they're on the blocks and they're like hurdling. And they get the first hurdle. And they're like, oh, this is not good. And what's going to happen? You're going to hit the hurdle. You're going to fall down. It's going to trip you up. So the point is to lay aside. So the preacher here saw that happen. And he's saying, hey guys, the same is true for you. You're in a race. And the first thing to do is to make sure you're properly equipped. Make sure you don't have extra baggage and luggage that you're carrying around because you won't run very fast and you won't get very far. So you got to lay it aside if you're going to run so that you can run fast and you can run far. So let's look at these two things. The first one is to lay aside every weight. Now, what is a weight? Here's what we're going to define a weight is. The good things that slow you down. See, in a moment, we're talking about sin. Those are the evil things that trip you up. But for now, we're gonna talk about the weights. And those are the good things that slow us down. And they're a little bit harder to work through and decipher because they're not bad. They're not sin. There's no commands about making sure we don't do this or that. They're just all the extra stuff that have invaded our lives that are not part of our race. They're actually detracting from the race. And some of us are just too busy and too complicated and have too many things going on to actually be focused on running the race Jesus has for us. You've still got the jumpsuit on. You've got the puffy pants. You've got the necklaces around, you got the hat on, you got the glasses on, and you're forgetting, you got to, if you're gonna race, you gotta take some of those things off. So these are good things that slow you down. So how do we know what good things we need to give up? Because I don't think all good things are weights. I think some good things are actually wealth. And I'm using that word wealth to mean they're adding to your race. They're adding to your life. They're filling you up. They're pushing you forward. Those are good things. God wants you to have some good things in your life. He says, hey, get rid of your family, get rid of your job. Well, you kind of need family and you need your job to support your family. So you can't just give up everything and just read your Bible and go to church. So the question for you to wrestle with is, okay, the good stuff in my life, is it a weight? It's adding to the race. It's adding to me. It's lifting me up. It's pointing me toward Jesus. It's pointing others towards Jesus. Or is it a weight, meaning it's detracting, it's weighing me down. It's distracting me from the mission that Jesus has for me. And here's what I'll say. Only you can answer that question. This takes discernment and prayer. So for you this afternoon, you're gonna have to get alone with the Lord and pray through. What are the good things? Okay, my house, my car, my hobby, the thing that I do, my bank account, my family, my friends, my stuff, just name it and go through it. My phone, my social media, my consumption of cable news, all these things that aren't necessarily sin, are they helping you run or are they hindering you from running? Are they a wealth in your life or are they a weight that you need to give up? Now, as you think through if something's a weight or not, I want to give you just maybe something to process, because some of you are going to just go like ninja style and get rid of everything. And some of your weights are actually your witness. And so some of your weights are waste and you need to just get rid of it. Some of your weights, they're not weights, they're witnesses. So I'll give you an example. Maybe your thing is fishing. My little boy G loves to fish. Maybe you love to fish and fishing's like your thing. Well, is it a weight you need to get rid of, or is it a wealth that builds into life and pushes you forward? And the question is, okay, is it a waste or is it a witness? Like I got a friend, Jake Hope, who loves to fish. And hearing this sermon, he might think, man, I need to give up fishing because fishing is a weight and I need to run my race. And what I've noticed about Jake Hope is he's taken me and my son fishing. And in teaching us about fishing, he's also engaged my son with all sorts of things about Jesus and the gospel. And what he's told us is in his fishing endeavors, he constantly has Murray State fishing team on his boat. He's constantly fishing with young guys for the purpose of sharing the gospel and making disciples. So for him, giving up fishing, it's actually part of his race. God is using it in a good way. Maybe for you, fishing is a way you're building into your family, into your legacy, that family of faith. Or maybe it's your way to escape your family. And if that's it, you probably need to throw it away. So what I'm just saying is there's some wiggle room. We got to figure out not all weights are waste. Some weights are actually witness and wealth, and we got to know the difference. So here's what you're going to have to do. My weight is not your weight, and your weight is not my weight. We have to determine in our own lives, what are the things slowing us down, detracting us for what Jesus wants us to do? And if there's something that's slowing you down and detracting from what Jesus wants you to do, get rid of it. Take it off and throw it away. Lay it aside. You want those things that are adding to the race that you are on. Secondly, we've got to throw off is every sin that clings so closely to us. Now, this is less discernment, okay? If there is a sin in your life, you need to lay it off. You don't play with sin. And notice, sin is sticky. It clings to us. You have desires and you have loves for those sins that you used to enjoy, but now you're supposed to lay them off because you're on a race with Jesus and you're running the race. So you need to put off those old sins that you used to love and enjoy. Put them off, because what are they gonna do? Those evil things are gonna trip you up. They're gonna cause you to fall over and over and over, and you're not going to run the race Jesus wants you to run. So we've got to put off those evil, bad, sinful things that are causing us to be tripped up. And again, we all have different races, we all have different weights, and we all have different sins that we struggle with. Mine are not yours and yours are not mine. But what are those things that keep tripping you up? What are those things that are sticky that you need to go to war on? Stop just letting them have dominion over you. You have dominion over them through the resurrection of Christ. So how can you get victory? So if you're maybe thinking like, well, I'm not even sure what we're talking about. I'll give you some list of sins, okay? So Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, Romans 1, Matthew 7, Colossians 3 are all places you can go when you get home and read the full list. I just went through like the top 15, and here's what the Bible would say are various sins that we can struggle with. Sexual immorality and lust. Huge sin in Scripture. And that might be the one that keeps tripping you up. We have a culture that is pervasive with pornography and sensuality. It's sort of all over the place. It's everywhere. And that can be the one that keeps tripping you up. And it is sexual morality, and it can lead you to even more sexual morality where you're doing things that you should not. Maybe that's the thing that keeps tripping you up. So what do? You lay it aside. You put it to death. You do everything you can to get rid of that temptation and that sin. Maybe for you, it's idolatry. Man, we live in a culture where it's real easy to idolize things over God. And we can idolize good things. We can idolize our family. We can idolize sports. We can idolize politics or country. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can say, actually, this is God, and God's somewhere under here. And the God of the Bible wants no rivals because he has no rivals. He alone is God. He alone is the one who you worship, and he alone is the one who supports your whole life. He's the only one you can fully trust in. And if you're trusting in other things, you can be idolizing those. So we want to make sure we throw away idols. What about theft or greed or covetousness? I mean, greed and covetousness, this is like what all commercials market to. Our greed, our love for more, our I'm never content. I always want the new thing and I want the shiny thing. So I can go on Amazon, I can go on TV and it's all shiny and look at me. All of my Facebook feed, it's no longer social media. It's just ads. Have you noticed that? It's not your friends. It's just people selling stuff that you don't need. And it just always comes at us. So maybe your like besetting thing is you just always want more and you're never satisfied. Well, you need satisfaction in Christ and you need to put off a spirit of covetousness or greed. What about anger and wrath? And we live in a world that's a real easy to just live in anger and wrath. You're just mad all the time at everything that's going on. You're screaming all the time. And all of your, everything's just screaming all the time. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruit of the flesh. So what do? If you're angry and yelling all the time, you can't run the race Jesus has for you. That's not what he's called you to do. So what do? You go to war at your anger, war at your resentment and wrath. What about jealousy and envy, strife, division, drunkenness, slander, gossip, malice, wickedness, murder, pride, boastfulness, disobedience, foolish, faithless, hatred, and enmity? There's just a list of things. And so I want you to just put your eyeballs on that and decide, okay, what are the two or three things that just jump out? They're the two or three things that are sticky. They keep coming up. They keep tripping me everywhere I try to go. I just keep going on and on for this one or two things. What's the preacher saying? Lay them aside. Take them off. Put them away. They no longer belong to you and they don't belong to the race that you are running. They are slowing you down. They are tripping you up. So how do we practically do that? Like, what are ways that we can actually put to death and put aside those sins that trip us up? I'll give you four ways from scripture on how to fight sticky sin, the sin that clings so closely to us. The first is through identity in scripture. In Matthew 4, Jesus fought sin and temptation through his identity. He knew who he was. I'm the Son of God, so I'm not going to be tempted at what you're trying to get me to do. I know who I am, and he fought temptation and Satan through scripture. He quoted scripture to Satan. And so what do we do in our temptations? We know who we are. You're not an old sinner anymore, right? You've been saved by grace. Therefore, you're a saint of God. You've been made new. You're a new creation. You have a new identity. You're dead to sin and alive to God. So you got to remember who I am and then have some fighter verses that you can speak towards your temptation and towards your proclivity to that sin. So you fight with identity in scripture. That's the power that God has given us. And then when we fall, what do? We repent and we pray. 1 John 1 will tell us that as we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you know what you do when you mess up? You repent and you go to the Lord in prayer. And you know what happens when 3 days later you do the same thing? You repent and you go to the Lord in prayer. You know what happens when 3 days later you do the same thing? You repent and you go to the Lord in prayer. You know what happens when 3 days later you do the same thing? You repent and you go to the Lord in prayer. And eventually, over time, if you just keep running and you just keep fighting, there will be a fourth day when you haven't done that thing. And there will be a tenth day when you haven't done that thing, because all of a sudden the Lord is rotting righteousness in your life. Getting those old sins out of you. But they don't come out of you unless you're willing to fight them. If you feed them, they will continue to grow. If you fight them, they will eventually die. That's what the cross gives to us. So we repent and we pray, and then we flee temptation. 2 Timothy 2 would tell us to flee youthful passions, flee those temptations. And this is, man, when you go to that place and you always get tripped up, when you walk by that person, you always have those thoughts, when you go to your phone and you always do this, when you go to the internet and you always go here, well, don't go there. Don't go towards the temptation that you know you're gonna fall in. Instead, flee it get away from it. Run towards the goodness of God. And then lastly, don't fight alone. James 5 would say, confess your sins one to the other. Invite other people in. Invite guys and girls that can help you fight this particular sin. That can, you can confess them. You can get them part of the gang, and you can fight together to get over whatever is continuing to be sticky and continuing to trip you up. So the first thing we do if we're going to run fast and far and finish the race is we got to lay aside every weight. Those are the good things that slow us down. And we got to get rid of all the sin. That's the evil things that trip us up. We got to get rid of them, put them off, because we have a race to run. And then secondly, we look up. We fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Notice what it says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As we put off, we're looking up. We're looking at the Lord Jesus. Why do we need to look to the Lord Jesus? If I can be honest, because we don't know where we're going. Like the Christian life, you know, like the cheesy line, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's actually true. It's not a sprint. It'd be easy if it was like just a couple of weeks and I'm good. No, it's a marathon. And the thing about the marathon, it's more like the Barkley Marathon than the Boston Marathon. I don't know if you heard about the Barkley Marathon, but it's in Tennessee. It's got a lot of folklore around it, and kind of this old like guy made it up. And there's no invitation. There's no sign-ups. You just got to show up. There's no location. You just got to find it. And then when you get there, you have to have, I think, a pack of socks to enter in it. And there's no exactly miles. It's around 100, but nobody's exactly sure. And you have to do several laps. And to complete the laps, there are books hidden in parts of the woods. And there's no coordinates. There's no compasses. You just got to find them and rip a page number that matches your jersey and then bring them back to the old guy and then run the next lap. It's a little crazy. And I think it's been running for like 20 years and like 20 people have finished it. This year there was no finisher just because it was so hard, right? That's what the Christian life is like. So like the Boston Marathon, there's a start, there's a finish, you have coordinates, it's clearly laid out, it's super easy to run. The Christian life is more like the Barkley one. Where am I supposed to go? Hey, I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going. There's no marker. There's no this or that. So how do you know if you're running in the right direction? You have to look to Jesus. He's your coordinates. He's your point. You keep your eyes on him. Like when I went to Carlton's church, he had to lead me to his Airbnb and I didn't know where this thing was. So he just, hey, I'll just go there and I'll send you my location. So I'm on my phone following Carlton, who's going somewhere. I'm just following his location and I know he's going to the place and I'm following him so he'll get me to the place. That's what it's like to be a Christian. We're following Jesus, who's getting us to the place. Just keep following Jesus. That's how you run the race. And you know what's cool about Jesus? He's the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the founder. It means he's the trailblazer. He went before us. He's run the trail. He's scouted it out. He's got your life planned. He's already ran it for you. So he's saying, hey, now just look up and follow me. Just read my word and see what I did and you go do that. Look to me, pray to me, follow me, and you will know where to go. The instructions is Jesus, follow Jesus. And he's not just the founder, he's also the perfecter of our faith. In other words, the job is not for you in this race to, in your own strength, run it. He's already perfected it. He's already won it for you. In a real sense, you've already crossed the finish line in Jesus when you put your faith and trust in him. You've already made it to heaven. Now you're just running. He's perfected it. He's done it. He's at the finish line. You're running to him, and you're also at the finish line with him. He is both the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And notice what Jesus did. So we're going to look to Jesus, who's already run it, who's there ahead. Our eyes are on him. We're running towards him. And then we're going to see his motivation for running. And his motivation should be our motivation. Notice his motivation. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why did Jesus endure the cross? Why did Jesus walk through suffering? Why was he willing to continue when he knew his race is there's a cross, there's suffering, there's torture, there's death? Why would he continue to run if he knows a cross is in his path? Notice the word, for joy. For the joy that was set before him. It doesn't say for the duty, because he knew he had to, because he knew he was supposed to. So he just like, this is my lot. I'm going to do it. I don't want to, but this is what I have to do. No, it was for the joy. Now, was the cross joy? No. So what's the joy set before him? It's not the cross. It's what's after the cross. You know what's after the cross? A resurrection. You know what's after the cross? Ascension back to his Father, reigning at the throne of God at his right hand. And you know what the joy that was set before him? If I go through that cross and I go through resurrection and I get to my Father, there's going to be another resurrection of the saints. I'm going to bring many sons and daughters into this family to live with me forever. That's what Jesus had on his mind when he's looking at the cross, the glory of God and his love for you. That was the joy set before him. I'm going to glorify my Father. I'm going to appease his wrath for sin, and I'm going to raise to new life, and I'm going to bring a whole family of people who believe in me are going to also be raised from the dead and live with me forever. That's what we showed at Cruz's baptism. You've been buried with Christ. We didn't drown him. We didn't leave him. No, to raise to new life. That's what we are as believers. People who have been raised to new life, who are now running until we get to resurrection. That's what we're doing. And we're looking to Jesus. And so what should our motivation be? It should also be joy. You know what one of the themes of scripture is? That suffering leads to joy. That through suffering, there's joy. And we need to remember that, because in a lot of our lives, we suffer. A lot of our lives are suffering. We go through suffering, we're in suffering, we're out of suffering. How do we run the race and endure when we're walking through suffering? We're not just looking at the suffering, we're thinking about what's after it. After suffering, there's glory. After suffering, there's resurrection. And we might not have it in this life, but we will have it in the life to come. We look to Jesus, who went before us, who is the founder and perfecter. And because of the joy, he despised the shame. He despised what happened to him. And he just kept moving forward. And we are called to do the same. So what do? We lay off every weight and sin. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We, with joy, keep running through suffering. And then our third point is this, we run the race. You just got to run the race. And you got to keep running the race. So are you running, or are you just aimlessly wandering around? That's a question for you to answer during this time. Verse 1 says this, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. We're supposed to run. There is a race before us, and we are called to run the race that is before us. With what? Endurance. We've already talked about it. It is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It would be nice if it was just like a quick hit. Like, oh man, for 2 days, run hard for Jesus, and then it's all gonna be over. No, it's our whole lives. That's what we signed up for. So if you're a Christian, you've already started. Now it's a whole life long, and you now have to run the race that is set before you. Your race that God has given you, what do? Run with endurance, laying aside, looking ahead, and running, continuing to run. Just keep going. And as we look out at this congregation, we have people who have just started the race. You're just a few steps in. It's pretty easy. A few steps in is pretty fun. You guys remember a few steps in? It was like, this is awesome. This is great. And then about mile 3, I didn't know like this was part of it. I didn't know like prayer didn't fix all things. Nobody told me that like some people were not going to love me anymore. And you're like mile 50, it's like, whew, I don't know if I can do this anymore. This is hard. This is rough, right? Some of you are at that. You're not at mile 3. You're at mile 50. You're at mile 70. You're at mile 100. And you're wandering around in the woods. Just like, oh, I don't know if I can keep going. I think I'm going to quit. I think I'm going to give up. And you know what I think we're the most tempted to quit is towards the end. So I want to talk to some of you Christians who might be towards the end of your race. The most tempting time to quit is at the end. And it's also the worst time to quit is at the end. Because the end of the Christian life is not retirement. The end of the Christian life is death, resurrection, and heaven. That's the end. If you're not dead, God's not done. So you're still running. And some of you are so tempted to quit because life is just hard and you're tired. And I get it. You're like, no, you don't. I don't, but you do. Keep going. A lot of the saints get you. Just keep going. Julie Dotson, one of the saints of this church, she got a hold of this organization called LifeWise several years ago, and she just got gung-ho about it and looped me in. I'm like, hey, this is great. And so you don't know about LifeWise. It's basically an organization where you can take public school kids out of the school, and for 1 hour a week, you can instruct them in the gospel and the Bible. And so she's like, I want to do this. I'm like, that sounds great. It's went to a few meetings and stuff. And she just ran with it. And it's sort of kind of blown up in Marshall County. A lot of schools in Marshall County are doing it right now. Some of the schools aren't doing it for good reasons, but Marshall has been, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to start it. And just a little spoiler alert, South Elementary is going to start in the fall, and we're going to be one of the host centers. So kids will come to the farm 2 days a week and hear the gospel, learn about the Bible. Pretty cool. And so here's Julie, who is like, retirement age. She'll be like, I'm out. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm going to just coast. She is on it. She is all the time texting, emailing, wearing me out. I need volunteers. I need buses. I need this. And it's amazing. Every meeting we come to with Julie and her people, they've all got white hair. They're all older. And I'm like, y'all, like, they should be retired and just like having fun, and they are locked in because they want to see the next generation hear the gospel. They are like, we're giving, they've got all the time, whatever they want. They could go just do whatever they want, and they are locked in. They want to do something that matters because they realize, hey, I'm not done. My race isn't over, and I still want to continue. And by the way, just a little plug, they need more teachers. They need bus drivers. They need volunteers. So if you're at that place, you're like, I'm just wandering around. I don't have a race. We've got a race for you. If you want to run that, you can call your office. We'll get you hooked up with Julie. I promise you she'll get you hooked up. But some of you are like, well, I don't, LifeWise, that's not my race. Well, it's not mine either. But it might be yours. But it might not be. And we're not all supposed to do everybody else's race. You're supposed to do your race. What is the thing God's called you to do? What is the thing he's put on your heart? What is the thing that just grips you and you're saying, hey, I've got influence, I've got time, I've got a burden, I've got a passion. Oh, I could do this. What is your race? And are you running or are you wandering around? That's the big question I want to ask today. What is your race? And if you don't know it, spend some time with Jesus, follow him, pursue him, and he will reveal it to you. Did you know it's God's job to show you his will? It's not your job to find it. Just pursue him. Just go after him with all your heart. Put your nose in the Bible and start in prayer and just start serving people and you'll find your race. Promise, it's not hard. Some of you know your race. You know what God wants you to do. You know it's your work that's your race. It's your hobby. You're leveraging it for the gospel. It's to raise up these kids. It's to pour into this. It's to do whatever that thing is. This is my race. This is my thing. And so my question to you is, if you know your race, are you running or are you wandering? Because when you wander around, you're not laying off, you're not looking ahead, and you're not trying to finish well. You're just getting by. And you know what's probably true? Remember that cloud of witnesses that are rooting you on? You probably have a crowd of buddies that are pulling you back. I've just noticed that, right? You have a culture that's saying, whoa, 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 just live your life. Just have fun. Just be about you. You deserve it. And a cloud of witnesses are saying, no, 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 there is a race. There is a mission to glorify God, to grow as a disciple who makes disciples, to make a difference, to leave the finish line knowing you did well. You didn't just wander around, you ran. So are you running? And if you are, here's the encouragement to you. Here's the command to you. keep running. It's going to get hard. Have you ever watched a marathon? Have you ever seen them at about mile 10 or 15 or 20 or 25? It doesn't look fun. They're sweaty. They're nasty. They're huffing. They're puffing. People are passed out. Ambulances are there. It's hard. The Christian life is not a walk, it's a race. It's hard. You're going to sweat. There's going to be suffering, but through suffering comes glory. There's good around the bend. So what do? We just keep running. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and we're going to sing one song of response. And as they come, I told you I've done 3 half marathons. And the last one I did was in Land Between the Lakes. And it was a run where you could do like mini laps. I just did the one lap, which is about 14 miles. And it was pretty chaotic because the ice storm had just happened. And there was like trees everywhere. And we're like climbing through stuff. And it was just a hard run, probably because I'm not great at running. But also the trail was pretty hard. And so we're running, we're doing. And I get to the finish line. And what I didn't know is my family had came to surprise me. I thought it was just me and my cousin Michael. It's just us. But my family actually drove and were gonna surprise me at the end. And so I gotta tell you, like, as I'm running and I'm getting close to the end, just kind of jogging, I look up and I see my wife and I see my kids and they're cheering and they're yelling. You better believe I picked up the pace a little bit. You better believe I strutted up a little bit and flexed a little bit. I'm like, okay, like, I can do this. Let's go. And I crossed the finish line, and my wife gave me a big hug, and my kids gave me high fives, and we went to breakfast, and it was the best breakfast of my life. I finished it, and they were there. You know what's amazing about the Christian life? If you make it to the end by faith, it's not your wife or your husband or your kids are going to be there. They'll be there at some point, but not right at the finish. You know who it's going to be? The Lord Jesus, who died and rose again for you. The Lord Jesus, who's going to wrap you up and give you the medal and say, well done, you finished in faith. Now let's go have breakfast. Now let's go enjoy the reward of eternity. That's what's coming. So church, let's not stop. Let's not quit. Let's keep running. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Father, I pray during this song that we would evaluate in our hearts, what are the weights? What are the sins? What's our race? Are we running? And you convince us to keep running. Do work in our hearts during this time. Counselors are here if people need them. Let us respond and rejoice in you. We pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.